You're listening to Pop the Kettle On with Nicole Essio and Dr. Rachel Bushing. Hello, fabulous poppers, and welcome to a bonus episode of Pop the Kettle On. The reason you're getting a bonus episode is because your regular systems programming has been having a bit of a schism this fortnight. Sometimes Rach and I, with our two big work kind of lives as well as our two big home lives, really find it difficult to get together and make these things happen. So this is one of those fortnights that has gone down a particular rabbit hole of craziness and we missed it. So I thought I might give us a little bit of a hint into what's going on in our world, just as a bonus and to keep you hopefully interested and subscribed for the next time around. It's really odd talking to you by myself though, so apologies for the weirdness. It may just be in my head, but it's a new thing for me to talk to you guys by myself, so I hope it's okay. So this fortnight has been an interesting one. We've been challenged in our household by sleep. I'm wondering whether anyone else is having that issue. I don't know whether it's a pandemic thing, it's a world thing, it's generally, you know, stage of life, kids, new puppy, all that stuff, for us in particular. But sleep is hard and it's hard to come by. And for us, the puppy thing and small two thing have kind of compounded in the last fortnight, and we've decided we are going to do something about it, in big letters with like a sign. We have decided that we're going to sort of, for want of a better description, it sounds terrible, but sleep train our little 8-year-old. And interestingly, we're struggling to get out of his room. So the situation, I should explain the situation. So first of all, Milo the puppy, 6 months old, still waking us up 5:20-ish. And that's challenging, obviously, because I am not a morning person at all. Like, at all. Let me be clear about that. My dad ran a butcher shop for, 31 years and was up at 3:30, 4 a.m. and loved it, absolutely loved it. Me, if I'm awake before 6, it's really ugly. 7 is kind of much better. So you can understand why this has been challenging for me in the last sort of 4 months since we've had this pup. But that's been one thing, and that's hard. But the other thing is small two cannot get himself to sleep. And I'm wondering if that's something that anyone else has been experiencing, or whether that's something they experienced as kids, because I never did. I didn't have any sleep anxiety. And that's a thing, right? Sleep anxiety is absolutely a thing. We've been reading up, I've been learning more, and reading up and learning more and having conversations with Paul as well, finding out that, you know what? He had this as a kid, where you put your head down and all of a sudden all of the thoughts and worries that you have ever experienced seem to come back to you in that moment, preventing you from having a sleep right then and there. I've always been someone who generally can just nod off quite happily. Thank you very much. And I know that's a bit of a superpower, so I appreciate my my superpower there. Since having kids, obviously, the worries increase, and that sometimes is a little more challenging. But generally, no problems whatsoever. So I didn't get it. I didn't get this issue that we had. So small two, has to have one of us holding his hand to go to sleep. And that's okay when they're little tiny people and they fall asleep by, 7:30 and you're out of there. And as we know, this thing's called Pop the Kettle On for a reason. I need my tea. So out of there at 7:30, having had dinner and baths or whatever, and back into it, just me and Paul having our cup of tea to end the day. Problem is, when small two is now 8.5, that is getting stretched out further and further and further, to the point where when we first were going back to school this year, he was not asleep. We weren't getting out until 10:30 at night of his room. So the routine kind of went that we would, bath and, well, dinner and bath and play a couple of games or something. And then we'd have, you know, Wheeze Teeth bed, as we call it, Wheeze Teeth bed, where we'd read for a bit, and then it was good night. Small one would be off to her room, no problems whatsoever, still with thoughts, but would manage them herself. And small two, we would lie down with and hold his hand. And not just hold his hand, but he has this weird, I'm doing this thing with my hands, you can't see me, but he can't just hold your hand. He has to get it in the right spot exactly. So there's a lot of like hand manipulation and back and forth and drives me crazy. But once he gets in a position that he's quite comfortable with, he'll hold your hand and lie there, and then the questions start. And anyone who's a parent understands this. There are so many questions. There's so many things that we have to think about and worry about and talk about right before we go to sleep. And I, being the strict person in our parenting relationship, would be like, okay, you have one more question. That's it. No more. No more talking. And Paul obviously would like to get him happy and settled and calm and get any of the worries out as he needed to in order for him to fall asleep. That's also lovely. All of these things are lovely. I'm not saying they're not. But oh my goodness, I can't be lying in bed with a small human until 10:30 at night when I want to go and have tea with my husband or maybe, I don't know, catch up on the latest Netflix movie. I really need to see Malcolm and Marie or Marie and Malcolm. I'm very excited about that. Rach, if you're listening, we're going to have to do that one time. But it just was really causing some anxiety in us, I think, that we just couldn't get our time at night. And as a parent, you know, you need your time at night, right? So last night, when this was happening and Paul had attempted it, he had made an attempted escape. And the door being the creaky thing that it is in our 1957 house, woke up small too when he was just dozing. And of course, another 45 minutes ensued of Paul having to lie there with him. And he was, you know, Googling as you do when you're trying to Dr. Google it. And this psychologist had this idea about how kids have to self-soothe and how it's all very important for them to be able to. It's a skill, right? A skill to soothe yourself to sleep and to be able to do that on your own. I would have run past all of this stuff with Rach if we had the opportunity. But I'm hoping that Dr. Google has proven to be a good resource at this point. I'm recording this in the pre-phase, right? This has been planned and we've discussed this with Small 2. He is on board, so he's keen to give it a go. He understands that being able to go to sleep by himself is something that he needs to do. He also understands that that means that a whole different world opens up, right? He can go to Big One's house and have a sleepover. He can go to a friend's house and have a sleepover, which he's never done. He can go to camp, which is going to be a thing that happens, you know? So it opens up a whole world of possibilities. We had a beautiful chat about it. Just Paul and me and Small 2 on his bed while Small 1 was off shopping for a birthday present for a friend. And it was just really lovely, and he's keen to give it a try. So we're going to give it a start tonight. And so the next time that Rach and I record, I'll be able to give you an update. And hopefully, I've got my fingers crossed. I'm really hoping that this is the start of something calm and lovely. And that thoughts of zombies and burglars and murderers and monsters and all sorts of things that I never thought about as a kid. I really do realize now what a carefree child I was. We'll hopefully be able to work out a way of proving to be incorrect. So the plan is, we've been doing this meditation with him anyway. We've started that in the last sort of few weeks, and that's been really lovely. So the idea is do the normal sleep routine, and then leave the phone with the meditation for him to just, you know, listen to it while we're out of the room. And then we come back at the end of the meditation and we have a chat if there's a couple of things he wants to talk about for like 2 minutes at the most. And then we leave again with a promise to come back and check in 10 minutes. Now, the idea about that is that you give the kid 10 minutes to maybe feel a bit fearful or maybe feel a bit worried, no shouting out, no getting out of the room. And then you come back, that's him giggling right now, they're having fun out there. And then you come back and it proves to the child that the monsters and the zombies and the murderers and the whatever tsunami Or, as Big One used to worry, the helicopters that were about to fall on her bedroom didn't happen, right? So it's perfectly fine to be vulnerable and go to sleep because that thing didn't happen. So it's like every 10 minutes, I'm coming to check on you. And it's a pinky promise. It's solid. You got to go in at 10 minutes. So we're going to give that a try tonight. So I'm hoping that you can all wish us luck. This has been a very long, ongoing saga. He's been a terrible sleeper since day dot, can I say? Small one was incredible. You used to put her down in her cot and her little blinking big eyes would blink, blink, like a cartoon. And you'd say, love you. And she would go to sleep from eyes open to sleep all by herself, no problems whatsoever. But yeah, little number four. It's funny because a Facebook memory came up today and it's this beautiful photo of small two and big two. And they're cuddling, and it's like 8 years ago, so he was a baby. And my comment is, don't let the cuteness fool you. He's a total sleep thief. So it's been going on for a long time. And the interesting thing is sleep anxiety. Like I said, as a carefree kid, didn't have these worries, didn't have these thoughts that so. Big one, her thought was because we live near a hospital and there are often helicopters at night because they fly, people in to obviously get some treatment. Her biggest fear was that a helicopter was going to just fall from the sky on top of her room. So that, as a child, never occurred to me as a problem. Didn't think that was a problem at all. Small one has her own worries, but it's usually about friends during the day or things. She has that usual thing where you go, oh, I said a stupid thing and now I'm going to play it over in my head for the next 10 years or, 3 decades, whatever. Whereas small four, a small two, God, I'm getting my numbers mixed up. Small two gets himself all worked up over, the monsters and the zombies and the murderers and the burglars and all that sort of stuff. So lots of worries, lots of worries. And these are, these are things that lots of kids have, and I know if there's any kids listening, it is okay to have these worries. It is perfectly reasonable to have worries, but the trick is to realize that the way that we're worrying about this stuff comes from like eons and eons ago when we were, roaming around the earth and had to be really on alert in the dark because there was no light, there was no fire. Our amygdala, that lizard brain at the back, would fire up for any worry that we had because we had to be on high alert. And while we've evolved a little bit since then, we've really not evolved enough for us to go, that sound is a car, and that's not a problem because during the day I hear cars all the time, and that doesn't worry me. It's just dark now plus car. So your brain is playing tricks on you. And you can trick your brain right back. So that's the plan for small two. I look forward to being able to update you on this. And also, the plan for next time when we meet is for Rachel and I to have a chat about the movie Soul. So if you want to play along, please do. Soul is on Disney Plus. It is a Pixar movie. It is a jazz-filled delight that will shake your foundations and make you think. So I'm really excited to have a chat to Rach about that. Actually, now that I think about it, maybe she's been busy because she hasn't done her homework. That's a distinct possibility. I'll check in with her. I also know she doesn't listen to our podcast when it comes out as regularly as I do because, I edit and put it up. So I might be able to be really cheeky and say, Rach, have you done your homework? Maybe that's the issue. But anyway, if you want to follow along, please do. Disney Plus, Soul, it's a Pixar film. You'll really enjoy it, I hope. But you can let us know on the Facebook page, which is Pop the Kettle On. It's always tea time. Or you can get us at pop_kettle on Twitter, where we tweet very infrequently, but we're there. So if you slide into the DMs, I will find you. And you can also obviously subscribe to Pop the Kettle On. Find a friend's phone. Subscribe for them. Like they may not have ever listened to a podcast. They should give it a go. And also rate and review because it helps other people find us. So until next time, hug your babies and be kind to yourselves and one another. And we look forward to chatting to you about Soul. Bye.